Now, as you may know, we've been particularly interested in the low volume patients and looking at intraperitoneal therapy. So we right now have a trial going on through an Interspor collaboration that's looking at an intraperitoneal regimen adding in bevacizumab in a phase two trial. So we're also looking at that with intraperitoneal therapy. That's a phase two, not a phase three.
Now, can you talk about exactly the eligibility and design of that second study?
The Interspor collaboration is headed up by Carolyn Krasner at Mass General, and we call it an all intraperitoneal regimen. It's a little bit of a misnomer because the first cycle is given intravenously, so carboplatin is given every 3 weeks, paclitaxel is given every week. The first cycle is IV, and then the second through sixth cycles are intraperitoneal. And then bevacizumab is added in with the second through the sixth cycles, because we wanted to keep it away from the time the patients had surgery because of that GI perforation issue that has come up in some of the studies in ovarian cancer. So that allows patients with optimally debulked stage three. Patients with stage four disease based solely on a pleural effusion are also eligible for that study.
Now, of course, the bevacizumab here is given systemically.
That's right.
Is
it is, yes.
Right. Okay. Can you talk a little bit about the research that led up to both of those major studies? Let's start out first with the trial with bevacizumab that you mentioned, the cooperative group study.
The gynecologic oncology group study closed, and it's reported. I actually happen to still have a patient who's on that study. She'll hit 4 years of Avastin for recurrent ovarian cancer in June of this year. So clearly, we had a number of patients who went on that for a long period of time.
You had a patient who was on Avastin for 4 years?
She is still on.
Wow.
She'll be 4 years in June. Yeah.
Wow.
With recurrent ovarian cancer. Yeah. So, we see some of those patients. That's what's pretty striking about this with bevacizumab.
Can you tell me a little bit about that patient?
She's actually a lady who's now in her late 70s, and she had a nodal and intra-abdominal recurrence after initial treatment with paclitaxel and platinum, then was treated with cyclophosphamide and platinum, and had a recurrence within a short period of time after that, primarily in the inguinal nodes. She also had a small lung nodule that was sort of indeterminate. And then with bevacizumab, she's had a partial response in the nodes, and they were needle documented, and resolution of the lung lesion and a decline in her CA125, and has actually now maintained that for, as I said, a little over 3.5 years.
Any problems with the bevacizumab?
She has not had any significant problems with the bevacizumab. She reports that she thinks her voice is a little different than it was, and there have been some upper aerodigestive findings, in patients on bevacizumab. Occasional nosebleeds. I had one other patient who was on a cervical cancer trial of bevacizumab who I had taken care of for a long period of time, and very clearly both she and I noticed the voice changes. In the ovarian cancer patient that I was just telling you about, I only knew her for a month or so before she went on study, and I have to admit I didn't notice the voice changes, but she notices them.